My name's Anne Jones, and this is the ABC's answer to all of your nature needs. Off Track, the only show where you'll hear this. That weird sound was sent in to me by a listener of Off Track, and it took a bit of tracking down, but I think I found someone who can identify what it is. That'll be a bit later. But first, this. Angela Rose went on a trip to Peru. A lucky thing. Sounds like they're having fun. And lucky for us, she recorded some sounds that she heard in the Amazon. This one starts quiet, but it revs up. Angela says it's a howler monkey, and what a sound. I don't know that I'd call it howling, but it's certainly terrifying. Apparently the sound is so loud that it carries right through the forest some phenomenal distance, like 5 kilometres. And when they call, they open their mouth really wide. Their jaw makes a huge opening and their chin is lifted to the sky. But the secret is internal. There's a bone in the neck called a hyoid, and this howler monkey, it's developed that into a big hollow chamber that echoes and reverberates and makes for very loud monkeys. The pale-winged trumpeter, also recorded by Angela when she was on holiday in the Amazon. Imagine a black, silky-looking hen-like bird. Big body, skinny legs, big feet for scrounging around in the undergrowth, and a big white patch on its bum. That is what is making this noise. From a ground dweller to a little brown-grey bird that lives in the trees. This is called a screaming piha. It has a build-up to that high-pitched bit. You can hear it revving up. Angela, what a holiday. And if you, like Angela, get into the great outdoors, the Amazon, the Coorong, the Great Australian Bight, anywhere in the world, and you hear a magnificent sound, whip out your phone and record it for me. I'd love to play it on the program. The email to send it to is offtrack@abc.net.au. Louise Russell Cargill sent in this gorgeous recording that is so typical of what I associate with Western Australia.
Oh,
She wrote, "I recorded this while I was doing fieldwork in Kalbarri, Western Australia. The gorge made the song echo so perfectly, I think the magpie just enjoyed hearing itself." Louise, so beautiful, but I don't think it's a magpie. So I sent it to someone who works in the area.
"Hi, I'm Adrian Markey and I'm a botanist. Plants are more my expertise, but I do spend a lot of time in remote Western Australia where birds are constant companions. What I can hear in these recordings is a pied butcher bird singing at first. These are the magical songsters of the arid zone. Then a chirpy, scalding brown honeyeater, followed by a small flock of Australian ringnets, or 28, which are interacting and no doubt doing that tail-waggling dance as they chatter."
Jacqueline Gregory sent in this sound. She said she got it while she was in Virginia in the USA. She writes, "Such a great tone. It reminds me of when I lived in New York City and I'd get off on the sound of Harleys cranking their engines. Not the sound, but the buzz you get from a sound." Amanda Sargent is from the USA. She's a frog expert, and she said, and I'm reading her email here, she said, "I can say with 100% certainty that that's the call of the narrow-mouthed toad. We always say they sound like angry sheep." I mean, it does sound like a bit of an angry sheep crossed with a motorbike, but this sounds like a beast. Christina Catterfield sent this in from Western Brisbane, and yes, it's a koala. What a ripper. Off-track listener, Tim, sent this one in from Corunda in far north Queensland. Tim said there hadn't been any rain for months, then there was a bucketing downpour, and then there was this.
G'day Anne, it's Josie Stiles here from the New South Wales Frog and Tadpole Study Group and moderator of the Frog Friday Instagram page, because everyone knows that Frog Friday is the best day of the week. Thankfully, you were able to tell me that this call was recorded near Coranda in far north Queensland, and that really helped me to be able to work out what frogs were calling here. Now, I can only hear one species calling, and that's the northern orange-eyed tree frog, Latoria xanthomera. They've got a really long, high-pitched cat-like call, wah, 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 that rises in volume. And it's followed by a few soft trills. Now, this is your classic Australian Geographic or National Geographic green frog image from northern Queensland. They've got boggly big orange eyes. They've got a big yellow throat when they inflate it to call. And their dorsum surface is a gorgeous bright green. Now, this guy was only split from its cousin, Latoria chloris, the southern orange-eyed tree frog, in 1986. Now, fortunately for us, the calls for both of these species are really similar. So how do we tell these guys apart? Well, thankfully we can rely on distribution, because the two species do not occur together. Latoria chloris, the southern orange-eyed tree frog, occurs from Gosford just north of Sydney to Proserpine in Queensland, and the northern orange eyed tree frog, Latoria xanthomera, the one calling in this recording, occurs from Townsville to Cooktown in Queensland.
On ABC Radio, on the Off Track podcast, on CBC Radio, ABC News Radio and Radio Australia, you're listening to Off Track. And today, an earworm program, Sounds from Nature, that'll get into your head, and each and every one of them is sent in by a listener. Michael sent in this recording of a ground cuckoo shrike. These are a handsome bird, I have to say. It's like they're painted in grayscale. They're all black and white, and they're graded grey. And there's even some gorgeous scalloping through the feathers. Michael wrote, "These birds are very vocal, constantly calling to each other while they're foraging on the ground and also while they're in the air, usually as a family clan. They've got a voice too." Here, in Narrabri, is one of the spots where you can find them semi-regularly. Patricia Davidson sent in this mourning bird that she was having trouble identifying. She took this recording in Frankston, Victoria. And Sue Fordham, she sent in a similar one. This is an interesting bird, and the reasons you two are hearing it is interesting too. So I sent this off to Bird Nerd from Melbourne, Rowan Long.
Hi, I'm the curator of the Harry Brooks Allen Museum of Anatomy and Pathology at the University of Melbourne. The museum that I look after is for the most part human, but I'm also a zoologist and an occasionally obsessive bird watcher. On this recording, I'm hearing a very familiar species, which brings out some kind of conflicting emotional responses upon hearing it. So it's a very beautiful song, but it's also the song of an introduced species. So that beautiful melodious call is from the common blackbird. So that's a European species, quite widespread in Europe, and introduced into Australia in the 19th century. So very, very common around gardens in Melbourne where there's a lot of dense understory. They like to pick through leaf litter. You can often hear them picking through leaf litter. Even if you can't hear their song, you can actually hear their activity in the undergrowth where they're looking for invertebrates under leaves. And you can see that there's quite a difference between the males and females. So the females are sort of a dull brown with really faintly streaked breasts, and the males are a lovely velvety black with a very bright yellow beak and eye ring. So they do have a beautiful call, and that's why they were introduced, is because the Europeans that were here wanted to hear that song. They loved it that much that they thought they had to bring them over here.
And you know, we've had many blackbird recordings hitting the off-track inbox. This one is from Bill McCaskill, and it has two introduced birds in it, the blackbirds and Indian miners. And sticking to an introduced theme, Ross Rennick sent in this starling from Carnegie, and a blackbird too with a beautiful song. And Peter Barker also has a blackbird in the background of this recording. There's a butcher bird. It sounds louder than the blackbird, but they're both beautiful songsters.
Thank you. I recorded these bird calls in a strip of bushland that runs through Walleye Creek Valley between Earlwood and Bardwell Valley in Sydney. It's a little wildlife corridor that's only about 15 minutes from Sydney Airport, so it's pretty special to hear the birds here.
This is Laura Zusters, and she writes that she's a member of the Walleye Creek Preservation Society, and she's recorded birds and this message for me here at Off Track.
We do monthly bird surveys through here, so we could hear and see a lot of our usual suspects, like the scrub wrens and silver eyes and the wattle bird. But there's a lot of other visitors that we don't recognise, so I would love some help with that.
Well, Laura, I sent this off to birding maniac Henry Cook of Flock Wildlife to see if he could help us out.
Hi, Anne. I've had a bit of a listen to the recording you sent me from Walleye Creek. And there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of birds. But the ones I could pick out were variegated fairy wren, little wattle bird, yellow-faced honey eater, pied currawong, eastern yellow robins, a spotted pardalo, they call a few times. And I'm pretty sure I heard some grey fantail and rainbow lorikeet, and there might have been white-cheeked honey eater in there as well. There's a lot going on. Yeah, it's a really beautiful recording.
Now, Kath McFarlane has to be one of the luckiest women in Australia, right? Because she says that she was on her veranda on Variety Island in Queensland when she recorded this. Now, granted, it was 4 a.m, which is a little rude, but Variety Island. Kath, I sent this off to an expert to get their opinion.
I'm Chris Burwell, Senior Curator of Insects at the Queensland Museum, but an avid birder, or perhaps more appropriately, a rabid birder in my spare time. This is a lovely recording of birds on Bribey Island, and if you listen to the full length of the recording, there's actually a lot of species calling, 7 or 8. At various points I can hear bar-shouldered doves and peaceful doves, I can hear Lewin's honeyeater, Teresian crow, laughing kookaburra, and one of the species that actually is calling quite frequently is Rufus Whistler, and there's at least a couple of individuals calling a little bit in the background. But there's one bird that's dominating the recording throughout its whole length, and that's an olive-backed oriole. So an olive-backed oriole is quite a large bird, maybe the size of a butcher bird, and it's quite an attractive bird. It's got an olive-green back, and it's heavily streaked on its breast and belly with dark-coloured streaks on a whitish background. So the oriole call is just constantly repeated throughout the recording. It's going, ori ori ol. Ori ori ol. And when I did a bit of research, I found a little quote that said, that the oriole's song, and this is the song, is actually can seem quite attractive initially, but it soon becomes quite monotonous. And that's an absolute spot-on description for this recording, because after a while, you just wish that the oriole would stop calling, because it just goes on and on and on. And sometimes they can do that continuously for half an hour. One thing the bird's not doing, that orioles are renowned for, is mimicry. Sometimes the one bird calling can do up to 9 or 10 or even more species of bird calls all at the same time, interspersed with its own oriole call. One other thing that I've always noticed about this particular species when I've been out birding is that they seem to be quite ventriloquial. I can hear a bird calling and I'll go to the base of the tree and look up in the foliage, and I find it really hard to zero in on exactly where it is and to try and pick it up in amongst the foliage. So they can be quite difficult to track down and see.
Alan Roberts is from Huntley in Victoria, and he says that these are the frogs from the creek near his place. He writes, "The creek is small and ephemeral, flowing intermittently during autumn, winter and spring, and occasionally during summer storms. It always amazes me how quick that dry creek bed can leap into life. I hope the frogs are a sign of a healthy ecosystem." Me too, Alan. And finally, Karen Weiss, who is a potter, was in Jingdezhen in China, and this is a place that is famous for its porcelain. And this is what she could hear. Karen, I've found someone who can tell us what this is. Ben Wielstra is an assistant professor at Leiden University. He studies newts and all sorts of amphibious things.
I'm an evolutionary biologist from the Netherlands, regularly visiting Beijing, and I mainly work with amphibians. The frog on the recording is obviously a water frog, which is the vernacular name used for frogs in the genus Palaeophilax. These are the typical noisy green frogs you find in wetlands and city parks. I think the recording concerns a dark spotted frog, a species I regularly hear in Beijing. The only other water frog species that occurs in the same region is the Beijing gold-striped frog, which supposedly sounds pretty different, although I have no idea how, as I've never heard it before.
So how about that? The things you can learn when you send your recordings in to me. The email address is offtrack@abc.net.au. I'm pretty much an audio nerd, so I'll probably enjoy whatever you send. offtrack@abc.net.au. Thanks to all the hundreds of people who've been sending in recordings, especially the ones that we played today, and also to the experts near and far who've been helping me to understand what we're listening to. I'm Anne Jones, and remember to subscribe to the podcast for next time, because that's when we'll take you somewhere else.